stood there boldly, sweating in the sun. Felt like a million, felt like number one. The height of summer, I'd never felt that strong, like a rock. I was 18, didn't have a care, working for peanuts, not a dime to spare. But I was leaning solid everywhere, like a rock. My hands were steady, my eyes were clear and bright. My walk had purpose, my steps were quick and light. And I held firm to what I felt was right, like a rock. Like a rock. I was strong as I could be, like a rock. Nothing ever got to me, like a rock. I was something to see, like a rock. And I stood arrow straight, unencumbered by the weight of all these hustlers and their schemes. I stood proud, I stood tall, high above it all. I still believed in my dreams. Where they go, 20 years, I don't know. I sit and I wonder sometimes where they've gone. And sometimes late at night, oh, when I'm bathed in the firelight, moon comes calling a ghostly way, and I recall, like a rock, standing arrow straight, like a rock, charging from the gate. Son upon my skin, like a rock.
locked up strong. Although when I get lonely, I do. Your memory gets burning, lean back on the bourbon. Sure as hell can't keep leaning on you. Looks like I'm learning the hard way again. It's all my fault, yeah, I dropped the ball. You're gone and I'm gone 3 feet to the wind. Thinking about all I've wasted on you.
Podcast contains views and thoughts that may not be suitable for younger audiences.
Okay.
Spoiler content will be included in this podcast.
Okay.
So if you do not want to be spoiled, you might want to wait until the podcast hits the archives. Accordingly, the thoughts and views of our hosts or callers do not reflect the views of the Missy AE podcast or any of the Whispers groups.
Welcome back to another edition of the Missy AE Show.
Tonight, what are you doing?
Is our recap of Survivor 45 and the episode we all saw last night. We'll get into what happened with what we warned you guys about being a fake merge. Yeah, they all came together, but it wasn't actually a merge. Some of them merged because their team won in the challenge. And if you followed Survivor Whispers Premiere, which is our spoiler group, you would have known who was going to win that challenge, and you would have known who was going to leave. And right now you would know who's next if you're in that group. So we'll get into all of that, and A little reminder, we do have our grandfather of our group's Survivor Whispers, and no spoiler content is allowed in there. So if you're in there, you listen to the podcast, you hear some of the information here, please don't post it in there. I've enjoyed the season so far. I've enjoyed the cast. I think it's clear how they're editing things. I don't think there's any surprise edits this season. God bless you, Eddie. You would be helping me diagnose this right now, and we miss you, brother. But we know you know the winner, which makes you happy now. I've seen different comments online from people where they're trashing the season, trashing the cast. Then I've seen others, which I will say are in the majority of what I've seen, who are saying this is probably the best season we've seen in the quote-unquote new era of Survivor and how they're doing things now with the not going 39 days and the different twist they have now. I'm kind of on board with that. I think this has been a really good season, and I think it's going to end really good from what I know, and we'll discuss some of that. We'll take some questions. If you got questions tonight, we'll get into looking at each player that's left and how next week is kind of different because there's going to be two people leaving. One of them don't make the jury and the other one does. Spoiler. So, Steve, what did you think about last night's episode? I know we communicated a lot on Twitter and, you saw, you know, because you follow me, you saw what other people were saying that I try to retweet when I get stuff on Twitter during the live show. I try to retweet stuff so my followers and anybody following the hashtags see what I'm being told. And so considering all that, Steve, and what you saw with your own eyes, what did you think about last night?
Well, last night, I think we can almost consider last night to be an all-time merge episode for Survivor. It had pretty much everything that we would want out of a merge episode with drama amongst all of the remaining tribe mates from all three tribes. It did provide a little bit of suspense unless those of us knew about who was going to be sent home. But for people who may not be spoiled, there was a little bit of a question as to, you know, could Caleb potentially use, his shot in the dark? If he used it, would it even work, considering it's a 1 in 6 chance? Also, not to mention with all of the tension surrounding the Reba tribe over the past couple of weeks, you know, some people may have thought, okay, if it isn't Jemiah, maybe it would be Sifu, considering the fact that, you know, obviously now that it's officially the merge, there's no need to keep physical threats around, which in that case is Sifu, when it comes to the Reba tribe. But then again, we also had other variables at play with Bruce being a complete jackass, and all of a sudden, you know, now he's pissed off at Caleb for not allowing him to do his whole leadership thing that I don't know why Bruce thought that it would work on a merged tribe when it's one thing to do it with tribe mates, it's another thing to do it with the entire rest of the cast.
Yeah.
And also, you know, I mean, I got to say, Caleb, man, grab a lottery ticket or something, because for him to have his name come out like that, every single person voted for him last night, which officially broke.
Yeah, and we will talk about how stupid that was before the night's over. But, yeah, I mean, it was like you kept looking, and for the people that were spoiled, you kept looking, and you kept waiting on that one little damn vote for Jemiah, and it never came. And so when all the votes were for Caleb, was there a little bit, I mean, maybe even a 1% doubt in your mind, Steve, that, ooh, maybe Jim got this wrong?
No. As soon as Caleb got nullified, as soon as Caleb won the shot in the dark, for those of us who are spoiled, you literally just you just look at Jemiah's reaction to that.
Exactly.
And that right there tells the entire story. That
exactly.
She knew she was leaving.
Yep.
Well, okay, maybe, you know, she had a pretty good idea that she was leaving, I should say.
Obviously,
they did this mad scramble. Which, by the way, Caleb's shot in the dark play broke Kelly Wentworth's record for
right.
The number of votes nullified by a single advantage.
Right.
So... that was a
yeah, and
bit
we'll
of history,
we'll talk about that tonight. We'll talk about that tonight too, Steve, because there's two very obvious edits going on. Well, there's actually more, but two that are standing out right now and current that will be gone soon are Caleb getting such a hero edit. And such a good guy at it, how he was so nice and going around trying to play the game and getting information, doing everything he should probably be doing in a very kind and courteous way. And then Bruce sitting over there like the old fogey guy that's just jealous as hell, because all of a sudden now I'm supposed to be telling everybody what to do and they're not listening to me. And this little young punk over here is getting all the attention, and he needs to go. So you're getting an obvious hero versus villain edit there.
Yeah, definitely. And it's like you told me last night to Jim that Bruce is definitely looking to be the big villain of this season, and with everything that has, you know, with how the edit has shaped, and plus considering the fact that Keturah is in a duo seemingly with Caleb, I tend to think that even though Bruce has an idol, which, okay, maybe that'll save him one vote, I tend to think that Caleb is probably going to outlast Bruce. Considering the
fact that you take
a look at Caleb's edit.
Okay, go ahead.
You take a look at his edit,
Bruce,
and you see
though,
how fleshed out it is.
Yeah, the thing with Bruce, though, that can go either way. Yeah, it could save him, but with Bruce's ego, he might just walk out with it in his damn pocket.
That's true. I mean, his whole edit has been about him being a jackass. So it honestly would not surprise me at all if I wouldn't be surprised if he ends up being the second boot since next week is going to be a double tribal.
Yeah, well, Yeah, we're getting down to the point now where it will start being individual competition, so you have to consider that too. But I don't remember, and I'm sure they've done it before. I'm positive they've done it before, but they've never done it in a situation like this with Bruce, where on a previous season you had somebody leave in the first episode, like after getting injured day one, and they got to leave before day three. You would think if you brought them back the following season, they would get kind of a heroic edit. But I guess it's sort of true sometimes what they say in TV, you work with what you got. And they're working with what Bruce gave them. Bruce went out there as this very cocky guy. At some point last night, I don't remember how I worded it, but I repeated what he said. He considered himself a star, or like a celebrity.
Yeah, a celebrity.
Yeah, and I'm like, what? You're a celebrity because you got medevaced after a couple of days last season. You're a celebrity now? I mean, that just means you took a knock on the damn head. That's all that was. But and then you act crazy while you're riding in a boat, you know, on the show. But, I mean, I just think this is a really good season. You got players like Bruce like that, and you got other players in the background like Jake. Jake's getting a really, really good edit. Keturah, I mean, we talk about Keturah and Bruce. Hell, Emily still ain't that happy with Bruce. You got two women after you, and I'm here to tell you, if you got two women after you, you got problems.
Yeah, not just Emily, but also Keturah now. Also Keturah.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
He's a
Emily
marked man.
Emily and Keturah. Yeah. And we know how it's going to turn out. I mean, we know who's going to win that little fight if you follow spoilers. But, Steve, did you tell me we had Paul on here tonight?
We do. We currently have Paul, we have Melissa, and we have Reggie all on the line with us right now.
I'm a psychic. On my notes on here on paper where I keep up with who's here. So I make sure I put little checks past each person when I say something to them. So I try to equal it out. Little tip you may not have known. But anyway, Paul Stein, glad to have you back, buddy.
Jim, thank you. Steve, thank you. It's been since last year, I suppose, or season 44 when I called. I call in once in a while just to keep you guys honest, to make sure you guys aren't up and up. So I figure I got about an hour to be on the phone.
And I know the whole secret behind you, Paul. You call in to show off that disc jockey voice you have.
No, I have a voice for radio is what I have. Or no, it's
you
a
do,
face for radio.
You do.
A
you
face
really
for radio
do.
Is what I have.
But listen, let me ask you, the first time you're calling in this season, so bring us up to date at your thoughts back from the start as to where we are now. The floor is yours. Take as long as you want. I want to hear your thoughts.
Okay. Well, after that was episode 6. So I really like Survivor at an hour and a half. I think it's lends itself to player development, interpersonal relationships, knowledge of the cast. It's really nice. Now I'm going to slide over to The Amazing Race, which comes in after this, obviously. Not so much. Give me an hour. I'm fine with The Amazing Race as an hour. I'm not a fan of the hour and a half. It's too long. But going back to Survivor, it's been fun. At first, Emily was total sandpaper, you know, it's not a good feeling, but just something about her. I don't know if I believe that she's going to make a surprising run. It's one of those first edits that you like, everyone's going to hate her, and then somehow she ends up at the end, and she's not going to win, but somehow she ends up at the end. I don't know how she's doing it. Luck, obviously. Survivor's got a lot of luck involved. You guys were talking about Bruce. I enjoyed seeing Bruce back, but as the episodes have gone on, he's just an old grumpy guy, like you said. it's like, you know, I can't call him old. I'm older than him. So I guess he's a young grumpy guy to me, I guess. So I think he's blind to himself. I don't think he sees himself in the light of what he is, but maybe that's what you have to be on Survivor, just have to not be able to see yourself in some situations. But he definitely can't see himself because I think he might take a different tact. Let's see, my likes. I like Caleb. He's been fun. Austin has been fun. I really have enjoyed Kelly. She has, I don't know, just something about her. It seems like she's going to continue to go far in the game. Jake and Drew, let's see, not long for the game, I don't think. So not long for the game to me is Julie, Katira, Sifu, Jake, and Drew. I don't know. It's just, I never guess these things right. But the one thing, the note that I put down here was, I think Katura sounds like a tribe name. I don't know why. It seems like you could name a tribe Katura and you would fall right into the whole Survivor thing. So, and then going back to the beginning when Lulu had three quitters, disgusting. I'm super disappointed. But
yeah,
you can't control everything on the game. You know, as much as Jeff might want to, you can't, and everyone makes their own decisions. So that's all I got, Jim.
All right. Well, good, good. Let me say, and yeah, I'm going to make you wait, Melissa, because I'm going to Reggie first. Reggie, I hope you've seen it so far. What did you think about last night?
Well, Paul, I just met you, but I really love Katura. She's going to win. I'm calling that right now.
Hey, Paul,
so anyway.
Paul, I will say this about Reggie. Last year, when nobody else believed it, she called Gabler as the winner, and she got it.
And I never wavered, did I, Jim? He was my guy.
Yeah,
so,
you never did, and you haven't so far this season.
Nope, Katura is going to get it. I just felt just in like with her the second I seen her face. I thought, oh my gosh, she's so, you know, I don't know how to explain it. But anyway, what did I think of last night? Bruce is a clown. That's all there is to it. Now I forgot his name. The one with kind of the lisp. Drew, is that him?
Jake.
He's a lawyer?
Jake.
I don't know, he's a goober. I mean, his fun side, I think they tried to show us last night going, okay, I've got to be a clown now. I've got to, you know, so that they can find the idol, you know, or whatever it was. And I'm like, oh, my Lanta, that looks like something I would do. But everybody knows I'm a few flakes shy of a bowl, you know. So anyway, I wanted to know how Bruce, I missed it in Steve Goes production. But all of a sudden he holds his hand up right where he's sitting. And voila, there's the idol. Oh, God, glory be, open up the heavens.
You know that reminded me all the way back to when we first saw Malcolm and Denise were the last two people on their tribe that season, and they were about to merge, and it was a spoiler that I told everybody about. And if you haven't heard it, I'll repeat it again. And if you've heard it, I know it's going to be boring. But for those new listeners, they probably never heard this, so I'm going to say it again. When that happened, and there was still an idol around their camp, Jeff called down to the producers, cameramen, whatever you want to call them down there, and he asked, have they found the idol yet? And Jeff was told no. And he said, well, hold up, give them a little more time, let them search a little more before you move them out. And so they waited a little longer, and Malcolm finally finds the idol. And Jeff calls back and says, they found it yet? And they said, yeah, Malcolm's got it. And he said, all right, move them out. That was the kind of feeling I had. I was wondering if they did that again last night and gave Bruce a little more time to find it.
Yeah, that was just so dumbfounding to me. I thought tribal, though, with Caleb, I thought that was hilarious. And then how is Caleb going to act when he goes back to camp? Every last person wrote his name down. Will he feel like he's alone on an island? Because if I had every last person write my name down, I would be so shy and so, you know, introverted, I would walk away and not speak to any of them because I wouldn't know what to say.
Well, I saw an interesting post. I can't. There were four pictures. I remember two of them. Steve may have seen it too. It came from my good friend Stephen Fishbach. Somebody posted that on Twitter about somebody getting that many. Why would somebody throw that many votes on somebody like that when they're not a threat? And Stephen Fishbach sent out a picture of four different players that went all the way to the end and maybe you should reconsider. Two of the people were Denise Stapley and Natalie White.
Oh, okay.
They went through that situation, and they went through the season and won. So there was a good reason in targeting them, but they didn't get them out. So, and there were two others that he had. There were four pictures. I don't remember the other two. So, you know, maybe there was a good reason in targeting Caleb like that. But, I mean, you know, he defied the odds with the shot in the dark. Like we spoiled, shit, I don't know, 3, 4, 5 weeks ago that somebody was going to win the shot in the dark finally, and it was Caleb. And I mean, it was great TV, and it was a great move in Survivor history that will go down now as that can't be topped. I mean, he got every damn vote, so that cannot ever be beat, and he still survived.
Yep. Oh yeah, it was crazy. I felt bad for him.
And how many of us, I mean, honestly, how can you not like the guy? He's been likable the whole season. He hasn't done anything to make you even consider that you don't like him.
Hey, Jim.
Yeah.
Wasn't there only 11 votes read? And he didn't, and there was 13 people. Couldn't there actually technically be 12 on one, and then one person throws their shot in the dark out? Not to pull an Emily or something like this, but I think that there was 13 people. They wrote 11 votes. So, I mean, will we ever see it? Probably not. Not in our lifetime.
Yeah.
There's a definite answer to that. Go ahead, Steve.
The reason why there was 11, Austin decided to not use his idol right. and sacrifice his vote so that it would become an official full-blown idol, which would make it available until the final five. So that's one of the votes. And obviously Caleb playing his shot in the dark, that's a second.
Yep.
That's the second vote.
Right. Yep. So yeah, that's what I thought it was.
He garnered every possible vote. They all voted for him.
So on that, Jim, I have a question on that. I mean, I have my own theory that I think that there were votes swayed at Tribal because there's no way they all went in and went, okay, we're all voting Caleb. I think that Jay had some good points, like, are you kidding me? Look at this guy. And I think that there was enough banter back and forth, and when he pointed at Jay and then also pointed out, was it Julie and Dee as being like this trifecta of girls, that I think he swung some votes in his favor. What do you think?
I do agree with you. I don't think they all went into tribal council thinking they were all going to vote for the same person. And, I mean, it's hard for me to imagine that these players now, after 45 seasons in, when you have a majority alliance, you don't consider at least throwing one or two votes the other direction in case something happens like what Caleb did. Why can't one or two people vote the other way when you've still obviously got enough votes without them to control who leads? I mean, that was really idiotic to me, Melissa. I mean, am I right about this, Melissa? Couldn't one person have voted the other way? Hello, Melissa. You're on the air.
Melissa might have stepped away because she is connected on the switchboard. So,
okay. All right. Well, why don't you take it, Steve? Steve, why don't you take that? Do you not think if you've got that big of a consensus, you got that big of a majority, can't you figure out, okay, one of us is going to throw a vote the other way just in case somebody plays a idol or a shot in the dark?
Normally, yes, Jim, but I think the problem is because there were two, it's basically Reba versus Bello with Lulu being the swing votes. And I think because there was a big discrepancy there, and also nobody knew to begin with that Austin was going to sacrifice his vote, I think because of that slim discrepancy, I don't think anybody felt safe of throwing a vote elsewhere just in case it screwed up the entire vote.
Okay. What do you think about that, Paul? The whole controversy as to why they didn't put one vote the other way.
See, that's why I'm leaning towards it was like an accident that, you know, it's like, hey, you know, we're going to do this. And then and it's like, and there was probably a few people who were not going to vote for him. And they went, I'm voting for Caleb. That makes sense. And I think that they were just an accident. There's no people, Survivor contestants are too educated not to split their votes in some capacity. In some capacity.
Yeah, you would think of that.
Yeah.
You would have to think of that.
Yep. So as much as Caleb was lucky to get the 1-in-6 shot in the dark to fall his way, I think that the same luck was that they all voted the same way because you almost never see it happen at that size of a group. just doesn't happen. Statistics don't almost allow it.
Yeah. Reggie, what do you think about that? Were you shocked that they didn't at least have one person vote the other way?
Oh, absolutely. Sorry, I'm taking care of this little six-pound ankle biter. Got to give him treats. Yes, I was. I thought for sure, well, I didn't think it would go a la Caleb. I thought Jim may get some of them, and I thought it would be a tie. And then I thought with him using the shot in the dark, which turned out to be finally a good one, you know, a safe, she would go home and there wouldn't have to be a revote. So, yeah, I was just dumbfounded. It was cool. I mean, I enjoyed watching it and the reactions and all, but.
Yeah, it was very suspenseful because everybody. It was very suspenseful because everybody kept waiting on Jeff to come out with one different name, and he never did.
I know. I was waiting, too. I mean, I'm just right along with him, you know. I thought it was cool, awesome, went down in history, you know. So, yeah, I was very tickled.
You know, I knew that there was something up because I always record it, and I always try to catch up and skip all the commercials. I'm like, there's way too much time. It was like 8 minutes, and there are 10 minutes left in the show, and they're already reading results.
You can always tell at the end if you watch the clock. If you watch the clock, you can always tell at the end if there's going to be another vote. You're like, no, they got way too much time left. Something's going to happen.
Well, I think Steve said that on the thread, that it was 20 minutes left, and we were already going to tribal. Yeah, I think Steve said that. I never thought to watch the clock. I just,
I always watch the clock at tribal. That's
never
the only time I watch the clock.
Really?
Yep, the only time I watch. Because if I spoil something and I know what's going to happen, and I know there's going to be another vote or something, and that shot of dark's going to happen, and there's only like 4 minutes left, I know I'm screwed. but if I'm watching and there's like 8, 9, 10 minutes left, and they're fitting a vote, I know I got it.
Hey, I have a question for you guys.
All right.
It has to do with the foreshadowing that they do in the initial lead into the show. There's like a little segment somewhere in like the, as they're, you know, presenting the show that foreshadows something that's going to happen in this show. Where does that happen? I keep on forgetting to save the show when I'm done with it. I always just delete it. And I want to go back and go, okay, where do they talk about that foreshadowing? Someone said it's always in the same, like, part of the introduction. Do you guys know?
You mean the foreshadowing of what's gonna happen?
Yeah, like there's a foreshadowing.
Well, I mean, in the intro, and this will get back. I thought about this today because I wanted to bring it up tonight about spoiling stuff. In the intro, if you're a sleuth or a survivor detective and you're looking for information, if you'll watch, you'll notice little things like maybe one of the guys has got a little bit of a thick beard that he didn't start out with, so you know he had to be there pretty good while. You notice somebody looks a lot thinner than they did in their cast photo, well, they probably lasted a long time. If they show up in a competition or a challenge that you know, shit, I ain't seen that challenge yet. I mean, that's got to be down the road, so they ain't leaving this week. That's coming up later. I mean, that's what I always watch for during that. And that's – I was going to bring that up tonight because like what's coming up with Sifu next week. All right, I mean, I've told everybody when he was leaving, but I'll tell you the reason why. Because when the pre-jury leaves, you know, when it's time for jury to start, the pre-jury leaves Ponderosa, and now the jury is taken over, which is what's going to happen next week when Sifu leaves. They're not supposed to go home and post or do anything on social media. Sifu did. So if you're an old-time Survivor sleuth and you look for stuff like that, you know, well, hell, I saw Sifu at home posting when I know the filming dates, and, hell, he couldn't have made merge. So when he posted this at home, so he messed up, and a lot of Survivors do that. Alec Merlino, and he did that. I mean, it happens. So, and that's when I loved getting really involved in this, because I loved watching screen. I loved the photos, seeing them each week. I loved how to figure out the little clues from Mark Burnett. And I mean, that's when it was fun.
Right.
When it became where it wasn't so much fun was when the phone would ring and I'd pick it up and I'd have somebody on the other end saying, "You're Missy AE, right?" "Yeah." "Uh-huh. Well, I followed you for years and I'm in the cast, and I just wanted to tell you this and this and this and this and this," and I'm steady writing it down. But that's information. But I love the old school way, investigating and figuring things out on your own instead of picking up the phone and somebody just telling you what was going to happen. So, and that's what's happening with Sifu next week. He went home. He was posting on social media when he should have still been out there if you keep up with filming dates. So,
Jim, my point on the foreshadowing was, I think it was Dalton Ross. I was reading his article, and he was saying that during the intro, there's a certain segment that, like, it's always the same segment within the intro, where they showed, or maybe it was on Survivor Whispers here, that they showed the shot
Lay
in the
down.
Dark being played. Well,
no.
I'm like, oh, I should go back and watch that over again, but I can't because I deleted the show. So it's always the same part of the intro where they give a clue.
Oh, if you watch the intro and you if you're a diehard Survivor fan trying to figure stuff out, and whoever you are, God bless you this week for hacking into my Twitter account trying to see if I had private messages you could read about spoilers coming up with me talking to whoever on Twitter. God bless you, but you got caught and you didn't get my account, so try again next time. That used to happen a lot. That used to happen to me a lot on Facebook, Twitter, and my email account. And I put in a lot of different ways where I would get notified. And actually, Elon Musk, screw you, because you dropped the damn ball, because I had notifications set up to where if that happened on my Twitter account, I would get a text message asking me, "Was this you? Because we noticed this came from a device that you have not used." But they didn't do that. I got an email when I woke up saying, "Was this you? Did you get hacked? Was it?" I mean, that's Elon Musk now. So, but anyway. The whole intro thing, I love it. I love the intro. There's a lot of clues in the intro. If you slow it down, you watch it on slow-mo, or you pause and watch and look for stuff. Like I told you, little bitty tips like a beard or a weight loss or a challenge that you haven't seen so far. I mean, there's a lot of clues that tell you stuff where you don't have to tune in to listen to me. But we like you tuning in. So, I hope that answers the question, Paul. I mean,
yeah.
And I mean, I'm sure we could find that, Steve. I'm sure there's somewhere on YouTube that's got somebody posted the intro where we could post it in the groups where people could go back and look and use a little, especially in Premiere. You could go back and look and use your own little detective skills, because I love that about our groups. I think we have the most informative and intelligent members on the internet. Our right. members know what's up. They know what to look for, and they know what's real, and they know what's BS. And right. they're really good at distinguishing between the two. And I've always been really, really proud of them. And that's a great point, Paul. I'm glad you brought that up about the intro, because it's one of the main things that fans have loved and they've missed, and they brought it back, and it's something to pay attention to.
So here's the kicker, Jim, is each week the clue changes at that point in time on the intro. So if you have the first six episodes and you can find, it's like a marker, it's like, you know, 1 minute and 3 seconds in or whatever the intro is, it's like there's a marker, and it's like there's just a little burp of a clue, and it's changed every
yeah.
single week for 6 weeks.
Yeah.
So
and,
it'll change again.
And, in all honesty with you, Paul, like I told you before, how I used to spoil, which I really mm-hmm. loved, because I'd love digging in and investigating and watching stuff like that, as to how I do now and just pick up the phone and hear the information, I don't pay as much attention to that intro anymore, because I already know the information. And all I know is what I read of what other people say on the internet. Well, I saw this on the intro. What do you think about this on the intro? Look at this on the intro. And I honestly don't pay attention to it, because I already know what's going to happen.
Sure.
So
I'll have to hunt it down. I'll see if I can figure it out.
But yeah, Steve, what do you think about that? I mean, don't you love the intro?
Yeah, and you know, I first off, I like that they brought back the intro, but also I like that they actually did add little subtle teases for each week. At the end of the intro, that'll basically show us, you know, what, like you said, the Survivor salutes. We'll get to see, you know, and pick out certain things to look for later on in that episode. Like one of them in particular, one of the teases actually teased which tribe was going to lose that night and go to tribal.
Yeah. And
if
you paid attention in Premiere, I posted a picture this past week of everybody walking into tribal council, and it takes a little work. You have to click the picture and blow it up and blow it up and blow it up to where you look real close. And if you would have done that last week on that picture I posted of them going to tribal, you would have known which team won, because you would have seen Sifu being safe walking in with immunity if you just blow the picture up and look at it. So, and when I post stuff like that, I don't say, hey, look at Sifu, what's he got? I blow it up, and I want people to get involved and do the work and look and figure out, why did Jim post this? There's got to be something to this. He don't waste his time just posting this shit for nothing. So if you would have paid attention to that picture, you would have known Sifu wasn't leaving last week. And then you look up at the picture and you see Jemiah. And you're like, okay, well, they want us to think Sifu's leaving, but it's Jemiah. So,
yeah,
I do my part. I do my part, Steve.
Oh well, yeah, you most definitely do. I don't think anybody is I don't think anybody is doubting that.
Did we ask Melissa yet? Is she going to talk to me tonight?
Melissa, are you back?
Yeah.
All right. Yeah, I've been trying to talk to you. What time is it? It's almost 9. I've been trying to talk to you since, okay, it was like Tuesday at 3. Okay, so I lied. But I want to get to you like I always do with Steve each week because you two are my co-host. I don't do this by myself. I couldn't do it by myself. I used to could, but I can't no more. I ain't got too old for that.
Oh, honey,
I'm
older than you are.
Last night, I thought it was I think that's going to go down. I mean, and I know I'm walking out on a high wire here, but I think last night's episode is going to go down as one of the best episodes they've ever had because of how it played out and how they've edited Caleb and Bruce and Emily and Keturah and I mean, everybody else kind of takes a back step right now, but those four names are really out there. And, of course, Dee's still out there. They keep showing her, which is a strong hint. I mean, what did you think about the show and how it all played out with – these edits with Caleb and Bruce and the shot in the dark and Emily and Keturah still having, they don't really like Bruce. I mean, what did you think about last night and what do you think it leads to?
Well, first of all, Bruce made me sick. He was so pissed off that nobody was talking to him. He thought everybody should be going to him and bowing down and kissing his damn feet.
And just to thank you, Bruce, you clicked like on one of my tweets last night. Of course, it was about you, so that goes with who you are. Go ahead, Melissa. Go ahead.
Then what, Reggie?
I didn't say anything.
Okay. God, now I lost my way. Still cannot stand Emily. Still cannot stand Caleb.
Really?
Yeah. Hey, Jim, you weren't here last week.
No, I wasn't. I was busy. But let me, that's why I want to hear this, because I made it clear earlier that I thought it's very, very clear they're editing Bruce as the villain and Caleb as the hero.
No, they've been editing Bruce as a diplod. I'm not necessarily a villain. He's been mostly clowning around. Last night was the first time I've ever seen him as getting a villain edit.
Okay.
Okay. It's when, okay, wait. They're not coming to me. They're not bowing to me. They're not kissing my feet. What the hell's going on here? Whose fault is this? Oh, it has to be Caleb, right?
Yeah.
So it's like, whatever. But Caleb, the way he's walking around and he thinks the shit don't stink and, you know, aww. I'm the Canadian and, I don't know. I don't like him at all. Last week we talked about this. I still don't like Jake, and I know he goes far. You don't have to tell me, but we were talking about how faking his passing out at his passing out episode. You know, the first time he did it, he kind of fell forward, made sure that he was over the fire, that his hands weren't in it, and he did the stupid jerking motion, and then, oh, what the hell happened, blah, blah, blah. And then last week when he goes to get up, and all of a sudden he falls to all fours and does this jerking action, it's just like, you know what, if he had really passed out, he would have hit that ground hard. He would not have been able to stop himself on all fours. And then after that, going on to perform just great in the challenges. Like, this dude was faking it. Faking, faking, faking.
And without getting into details about how far he goes or what happens with him, do you think that played into how he eventually ended up? Do you think other players saw him that way?
I don't think that they saw him as faking. I think they, I don't know. I think that they don't see him as a threat.
Hypothetically, If he was in the final three, could you have seen a jury looking at him as not being sincere in his game?
Well, I would hope so, because he's not. He's not very sincere in his game. I think he's pretty much trying to play the sympathy card. Trying to make people concerned about him and understand why he doesn't do shit at camp, right?
Yeah.
Because he's so weak. But yet he goes out with the challenges and he wins. You know, he goes out and does the challenges just fine. He doesn't pass out there. I don't know. I just think he's a fake. I haven't liked
him
since day one.
What do you think about the whole storyline with Keturah and Emily against Bruce? I'm going to ask the question, even though I know you know the answer, and I'll let you either directly answer it or dodge around it. It's up to you. But how do you think that's going to play out?
I think Bruce will go before Emily, but Emily will definitely go before Keturah.
Okay.
I think Emily, her biggest alliance, the person that she feels the absolute safest with, is Caleb. And she's fixing to lose him. Maybe not next week, but she will lose him.
Do you think there's a chance we see the Emily edit switch back to being sort of somebody that nobody likes, and maybe she ends up helping Caleb leave?
Well, you know, let's just say that she probably will not be able to make it through very much longer faking this new and improved Emily. So it would not surprise me if she went back to her old ways. Right now she's on her best behavior. But once everything starts to settle in and she feels comfortable enough, she will go back to her ways. so I wouldn't put that past her. But then again, she might, you know, everybody might say, you know, she's an easy vote. Let's just get her out of here. She's not. Nobody really likes her that much.
Why don't we just put this out here? She won't be in the top five. Emily
no.
will not be in the top five.
No.
And I'm. What does Steve help me out here? What does Paul Heyman say?
That isn't a prediction. That's a spoiler.
I like that. We're going to have to use that from time to time, Steve.
I don't know, but as far as the rest of it went, I think that it was dumb that not one person not
Can't you find one person to just vote the other way? Just one.
Well, you know, Jemiah said that she had thought about putting a random name down, but changed her mind.
Yeah. That's like that old movie, Steve. I'm going to get you, sucker. When Chris Rock goes in the little rib restaurant and he wants to buy some ribs and asks the guy how much they are, and the guy tells him, and Chris Rock says, we get how much for one rib? Get one rib. Can't you find one person to vote the other way?
Right.
Like I said earlier, I mean, technically you can, but, you know, with how packed the numbers were this week, you know, there's very little room for error. And obviously they didn't know that Austin was gonna sacrifice his vote in order to make his idol become fully powered. So, I mean, normally, yeah, you know, there would be room to, you know, get somebody to switch their vote. But
yeah.
I think they were just completely on edge with it being two tribes essentially against each other and Lulu being in the middle that, you know, once it came down to it and they ended up going to tribal, I think they were too gun shy basically to potentially make that type of a move.
Can you imagine how Jeff felt sitting there knowing I'm fixing to get to make history. I'm finna get to read every damn vote for the same person and they're not leaving. I mean, don't that kind of go against the whole premise of the show? You know, if your fire's out, you're gone. This guy gets every damn vote in the barrel, and he's safe.
That just goes to show, Jim. It just goes to show that it can happen.
Yeah, definitely, definitely. Man. So where do we go next? I mean, we got two people leaving next week, and let's see, where are we at now? What do we got left? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12. We got 13 players left. Okay? You know they like doing final three with jury of 9. If you got 13 left, that means if two people are leaving, that first four guy ain't going to be on the jury. The second boot will start the jury. That's going to be great TV, right, Reggie? I mean, ain't that great TV?
the first person leaves, sorry, you didn't make it. Second person, congratulations, you're the first member of the jury.
Yeah, that would suck. Who is the first member of the jury?
Oh, that's why you're here tonight.
You know me, Jim. I've just got to know everything.
You know the first one out. You want to know the second one.
Pretty much, yeah. What's wrong with that? You're my buddy, my good old friend, my good old chum, Opalamine, remember?
Steve, she's just like all the other Survivor fans. Whenever you answer a question, here comes another one. You tell them who's next, and they want to know who's after that.
Well,
you
no, wait a minute, Jim.
You tell them how, they want to know how many votes they got. I mean, it never stops.
Jim, to be fair, because Keturah is going to win, so I'm happy.
If you give a mouse a cookie?
Yeah,
huh?
You're right. Paul, you're exact. Repeat that, Paul. They didn't hear.
I just said, have you ever read the book, If You Give a Mouse a Cookie?
No.
Oh, my God. It's a classic kid book. You got to go and find it because you're describing that. Jim is describing exactly what happens. If you give the mouse a cookie, he's going to want the next thing. And then he gets the next thing, and he wants the next thing. And he circles all the way back around to the cookie.
Yeah. Never stop.
Yep.
You have no idea over the years how many people I have blocked on Facebook that would not leave me alone in my messenger asking questions like that. And
luckily
we've got the group down to where I can't remember the last time I've had to deal with that because people know if you want to hear what he's got to say, go to Premiere or listen to the podcast. He ain't going to tell you shit in Messenger.
Well, I kind of already know who's going to win, so I guess I'll retract my question because I know Keturah is going to be there.
Well, you know she's going to be in the finals. Well, you know she's going to be up there.
She's
going to be in it. She's going to be in it.
Her and Dee
and
are going to get the vote.
Reggie, if you're right and you pick Gabler and Keturah back-to-back seasons, you freaking need to go to Vegas.
Yeah, but wait a minute, Jim. Wasn't Gabler two seasons ago? Who won last year?
Yum, yum.
I forgot him.
Goober.
Yeah.
Goober face.
How could I forget him?
And I did not like him at all.
Yeah.
So, I took a break for a year. But I think that Dee and Keturah are going to be the final two, and Keturah is going to win.
Well, I'm going to give you this. I'm going to give you this, Reggie. You got a 50-50 shot.
Oh, well, I already won then. Think positive.
I wouldn't underestimate Dee.
She's a strong woman. I like her.
Dee is getting a really, really smart, strong edit while Katura's getting involved in these petty-ass bullshit games with Bruce and all this. While Dee keeps getting a really strong, confident, smart edit.
And I like her. I mean, I like them both, but I really like her.
I do, too. I do. I like both of them. And I like Julie, but I kind of see her as kind of like a tag-along. I mean, she's like your if guys are going to the bar, she's like your wingman. You know, she's going to help you score. She's not going to score. She's going to help you score.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm seeing Austin kind of like when Hayden Moss played. It's kind of like Hayden had a really good shot to win, but made one bad move and it cost him. I'm seeing Austin a little bit like Hayden Moss was.
Well, he's a little bit sure of himself, that's for sure.
Yeah,
but I still like him.
Some bitch of, let me ask you, can we take some donations tonight? Can we set up some kind of GoFund where we buy this some bitch a sandwich so he shuts up about missing out on a sandwich?
Well, don't forget.
I mean,
don't forget
buy
that
the damn
sandwich.
Guy a sandwich. For God's sake, you missed a sandwich.
Don't forget
the gift card
that
Subway.
That sandwich is going to be the reason why he ends up outlasting everybody from that segment.
But I mean, how many times did they remind us in the edit that he didn't get his sandwich?
Actually,
like,
send him a gift card
to
Jimmy John's.
It's like there's people out there ain't even got close to a sandwich. I mean, you saw some of them people come into that little fake merge, and when they said, guess what? We got fish. Did you see the eyes open up like, oh, my God, food? And he's still sitting there worried about missing out on a damn sandwich. Hell, the bread was probably stale and didn't have no mayonnaise or mustard. So don't worry about it.
Hey, Jim, I got a bolt here. My wife just came home from work, and she wants to talk.
All right.
So, Steve, Jim, Melissa, Reggie, thanks for your conversation tonight. I enjoyed
you
it.
Too.
All
right,
good,
good to meet
you. Good night, Paul.
Night, Paul.
Hey, Paul, as we get closer to the end, come back and join us, and let me hear who you think's going to win this thing.
Okay, I will.
All right.
Yeah, thanks, Jim.
Thanks for calling, Paul.
Yep, bye.
I love that guy. I love it when he calls in.
Yeah, I was kind of surprised when I saw his number pop up.
I mean, let me cover this right now because I'm sure everybody can tell. Okay, it's that time of year. The weather's changed. Jim's sinuses are messing up, and his voice is a little different. And it will be different again until probably the end of January or February. It will get worse than this. There will be nights on this podcast where you can probably barely make me out. But tonight's really not that bad, but it will get worse. And for those of you that's been around for years and years, this is nothing new to you. You know, it's the wintertime, and Jim's voice has left him. He'll join us back in February. So, but I was saying all that to say, I was saying all that to say I'm jealous of Paul's voice. He's really got a great radio voice.
Well, your voice may have come down to Texas to be a winter Texan.
Well, I mean, I feel it. I can hear it when I talk, and I've been on the phone. As Steve knows, I've been off and on the phone and dodging calls and doing a whole lot of crap all day long. And I thought it was going to end my voice for tonight, but it held out pretty good. So let's get to the part of the show. We got about 40 minutes left before we go into overtime, but there's been a little bit of talk tonight about next week, and I think everyone trusts what I've said about Sifu, that he's going to be the first one because he's not going to be on the jury, except for my Survivor buddy. She still don't believe me, but after seeing Jemiya leave, after I told her last week what was going to happen, she's starting to get a little scared that she's wrong. So let's just say, for all intent and purposes, Sifu is first next week, okay? And if I'm wrong and he's second and he makes the jury, then my Survivor friend can say, I told you. But I don't think that's going to happen. Let's just say that Sifu's first. Who's second? Is it going to be Caleb? And if it's Caleb, why wasn't he first after all the attention to this tribal? Do you think Caleb wins the immunity next week in that first challenge? Or are we looking at Bruce being second? Does he mess up with the idol? Maybe in, or does in the first tribal when Sifu leaves, does Bruce use his idol? And he don't have one for the second one. Is it somebody else? You know it's not Jake. You know it's not Keturah. You know it's not Dee. You know it's not Emily. You know it's not Austin. Who else? Could it be Kelly? Could it be? You know it ain't Julie. It have to be Kelly or Kendra or Drew. So what do you think, Steve? Who's our second boot and first member of the jury?
Let me
add this. Would it be ironic, Steve, if Bruce went from being first out from a medevac to being first on the jury the next season?
Yeah, I mean it would definitely be ironic. I feel with Bruce. He is one of my options. I think based on the edit, another one of my options, I believe, is Kelly. She's got one of those edits that's, you know, if it wasn't going to be Jemaya who was the merge boot, Kelly had that type of edit that made me think she has just the right amount of content that it could have been her. So I wouldn't be surprised if she's a potential option for the first juror, depending on how the sides play out. In my opinion, though, I think it's going to be Bruce.
Okay. Melissa, what do you think? If we're going under the assumption that Sifu's first, who is second and why? I brought up the possibility maybe Bruce plays his idol at the first tribal and they get him at the second. Or
that
he's so confident he's at the second and they vote him out with it in his pocket.
That would be fine.
Could it be Kelly? Could it be Caleb? Maybe he wins the first challenge and Sifu leaves and they get him at the second one because, oh, he made that big move and now he's going to win a challenge. He's got to go since he didn't win this one. Could that happen?
Yep.
It ain't going to be Austin. It could be Drew. It could be Kendra. It ain't going to be Emily. Ain't going to be Dee. Ain't going to be Julie. Ain't going to be Jake. So with what we know, I mean, who do you think is most likely, the second one and the first member of the jury?
I do believe Sifu, however you freaking pronounce his name, will be the first one. And the second, I hope and pray, is Bruce. Simply because I can't stand him. I think that, I don't know. I don't know why. I just think so. Wishful thinking, I guess.
Okay. Well, that's fine. I mean, that's fine. Reggie, what do you think? You think you agree Sifu's first? And if so, who would be second? And why? I mean, could it be Caleb because of the shot in the dark and how maybe he won the first challenge next week and was safe? Do you think it could be Drew? Maybe he gets to talking too much around everybody. It's not going to be Dee. It's not going to be Julie. It's not going to be Emily. It's not. It could be Kendra. It ain't going to be Austin. It ain't going to be Jake. It ain't going to be Keturah. There ain't really a whole lot of people. Let's just narrow it down.
I'm hoping it's Bruce and
Let's narrow it down so Steve gets a good choice. I'm gonna write down the people it could be and who it can't be. It could be that one. It could be that one. It could be... that one or that one. There's really only four people it could be. That narrows it down quite a bit. Well, no, there's five. There's five. Wait a minute. There's five.
Okay.
I missed one. It could be Bruce,
yeah.
Caleb, Drew, no. Kendra,
no.
or Kelly.
Are you talking to me yet?
Yeah.
Okay, it's going to be
Bruce, Caleb, Drew, Kendra, Kelly. One of them.
I think it's going to be Seafood and Bruce.
Okay, Seafood and Bruce. And that's what Melissa's hoping. But Melissa, since I narrowed it down now, there's five possibilities for the second boot. Bruce, Caleb, Drew, Kendra, Kelly. Who are you going with?
You know, I'm still going to go with Bruce. But, you know,
okay.
I wouldn't mind if it was Kendra because, you know, she kind of embarrasses me since she's from Colorado and she's acting like a fool. But, yeah.
Okay, Steve, you're down to five names. We got Seafood going first. Who's going next? Bruce, Caleb, Drew, Kendra, or Kelly?
I think it'll be Caleb because I think he wins immunity. So it'll probably be Bruce, in my opinion, because we got to have some sort of conclusion to Keturah wanting him gone. And I still believe that Bruce... that Caleb is probably going to play a huge role in that too. And by the way, we do have Tim who has joined us for
Hi, Tim.
For the podcast.
Hey everyone.
Hi Tim.
How's it going, Tim?
Pretty good. Can't complain too much.
Good. Interested in hearing your thoughts tonight. And I'll get to you in just 1 minute while Steve's finishing up about who's going after Seafood.
Yeah, I still think it'll probably be Bruce because based off of what you said earlier, it definitely would not surprise me now for his ego to be so big that he doesn't see his boot coming at all. And the fact also that he has an idol too. It would not surprise me at all if either A, he leaves it with it in his pocket, or B, he just completely misplays it.
Well, the two biggest possibilities are when Seafood leaves, he plays his idol because he's worried. And then he easily goes the next week. The other possibility is it was so easily going to be Seafood because he's a physical threat and he kind of getting on their nerves around camp. And Bruce doesn't have to use his idol, or maybe he wins immunity. And then the next week, like you said, he's so overconfident and cocky, he don't play it. And they zap him with it, and he leaves with it. So either one of those ways could play out, or Caleb could be involved somehow.
or one of the girls, Kelly or Kendra, like Melissa brought up. But I want to get to Tim, since I haven't talked to you on the pods. I don't think I've talked to you at all. Have we talked on the Survivor pods this season?
Yes, we have. I'm pretty sure I was on when you were on like 2 weeks ago.
Okay, all right. Well, my life is so I don't know. But first off, let me get your thoughts about the episode. I know you're a Survivor historian. Don't you think that was a classic episode with what all happened?
Oh my God, that was an all-time merge episode, in my opinion.
Yeah. I mean, all the way from start to stop with what happened, even if you were spoiled and knew it wasn't really the merge yet, and then if you were even such the dumbass when they split in two teams and you didn't figure out, well, this really ain't the merge yet, after it all played out and you understand what's going on, what a classic episode with half the tribe getting to go and feast and talk, mm-hmm. and then when they go back to camp, they're all talking about what they're going to do. They're all going this way, that way, and I pointed out on Twitter last night, when you're going in so many different directions, go back to the first thought of what you thought you were going to do, which was Jemiah. And mm-hmm. of course, that's what happened. But my gosh, at how we got to that conclusion. I mean, because I spoiled about The Rock. It was going to work. But were you dumbfounded? Nobody, not one person, threw a vote the other direction.
Yep. Oh my God, that was crazy.
I mean, isn't that Survivor 101? Isn't that not like in the gameplay book of all time? If you've got that big advantage in numbers, always throw at least one vote the other way.
For real. My mind was blown that no one thought to do that.
Yeah. But overall, the episode, I mean, I think it's a classic. I think it's a great episode.
Absolutely.
Well, I mean, what do you think about it? And give them a few thoughts to some of the players, and whether you like them or you don't, or how you see their chances, or how soon they may leave.
Okay. Well, Jim, I'm about to send you a GIF basically describing my reaction to the episode last night over on Facebook. So it's there. It's in your inbox.
Yeah, I'm clicking it right now. That's a jaw drop. That's a jaw drop.
Yep. Yeah, that was about my reaction to the episode last night.
So overall, I think we agree it was a great episode, and but overall, I mean, I mentioned there's some people on social media saying, God, this cast sucks and this is a horrible season, but the majority of what I've read is like, this is the best new era season we've had so far. So what do you think about that and your thoughts about the players that are left?
As of right now, I think 44 is the best new era season. The only reason I'm not at 45 being there yet is because of the two quits. Otherwise, yeah, it'd probably be there.
All right.
As for the players left, I really wanted Caleb to win, but it's like, well, clearly that's not going to happen. So it's really just more how long does he last at this point.
Yeah.
Bruce, man, what a disappointment he's been.
Yeah, have you ever seen him bring back a player like that and him end up being he's ended up going from the penthouse to the outhouse.
Well, there's two players I can think of that ended up like that.
Yeah.
Michael Scoopin and Russell Simmons.
Oh, my God. Yeah. Oh, Scoopin. Great, great point. Scoopin.
And Russell Swan, too. And I say that as someone who has been friends with Russell for 10 years at this point.
Oh, I know you have. I know y'all have met. I know. I understand.
I work with him. He's on literally the floor above me. I talk to him almost every week.
Yeah, I mean that's like I was with Russell Hance. I mean we were close and tight, and look how that turned out.
Yeah.
I mean that's a whole TV show in a 8-episode series. But what we were looking at earlier, Tim, is with what I've spoiled so far. We're looking at, of course, Sifu being next and not making the jury. And is this, I mean, you're a historian. Is this the first time this has happened? They're going to do a double boot where the first person don't make the jury and the second person is the first member of the jury?
Yeah, I think so, but I can double check real quick. I think there's been... I think it's entirely possible.
I don't remember that ever happening. I don't remember
neither
that.
Neither do I, but it's entirely possible. The only one I think of that it could have happened was season 39, maybe?
I don't know. I kind of put your history and my history together and think we're right.
Yeah.
I kind of trust what the two of us combined think. But in saying that, Tim, if Sifu's first, we've really only got five names that are possible that are second.
Yeah.
After who I've spoiled are the final five, and that's Bruce and Caleb, Drew, Kendra, and Kelly. Who do you think is most likely to be the first member of the jury?
So I'm going to throw a bit of a curveball here and suggest Drew.
Okay.
And here's why. This is usually right around the time. This is right around the time where we usually see one of the early high-profile players go. And the four highest-profile players so far, if you look at the confessional counts, are Caleb, Emily, Drew, and Austin.
All right, well, it ain't going to be Austin.
Yep. I knew that because he wasn't one of the names you tossed out there, so that leaves me with Drew.
Right. Okay. Well, and that's good information. That's good information. Steve, does that change your mind at all?
I mean, I could definitely see the argument that Drew would be a candidate, because if it is going to be another if they're going to continue down that line of targeting members of the Reba tribe, then I believe that Drew would probably be one of the prime candidates for that for potentially another boot.
Yeah.
Okay.
The only thing that I feel going against that is the fact that D is in, you know, this huge alliance with him and Austin. So I'm kind of thinking that in order for her to continue to progress and at least buy herself some time, I would have to think that every member of that alliance, being Austin, Drew, and Julie, along with Dee, would have to survive for at least a little while.
Okay.
in order to buy herself some time.
Here's the other thing, right, too. I don't think it's going to be Bruce. The preview is really throwing out there the possibility of Bruce leaving. And, like, he's not the kind of player, really, that the edit would be like, hey, look, Bruce is leaving in the preview. That's probably a misdirection.
They do use misdirection a lot in the previews. I mean, 95% of the time, the person you see in the preview in trouble, they're not leaving.
Yeah, and the only time it's ever actually that person is if it's a really, really big player.
Yeah, because they want you to make sure you watch.
Yep, and Bruce does not fit that bill.
If they got a big player leaving, they don't want you to miss it.
Exactly, and Bruce does not fit the bill of a big player.
That could be a good point. That could be a good point. Or with his edit, I mean, either way, if it's not next week, either way, they're setting Bruce up as a giant fall when he leaves.
Oh, absolutely. I think he's getting blindsided with that idol. Oh, and by the way, I would like to point this out. I pointed it out in the chat on Facebook last week, but does anyone think looks-wise Drew reminds you of a younger version of Cochran?
No, but here's what I think about Drew.
Uh-huh.
I want to know if anybody listening on here tonight or anybody that listens in on the archives, the playback tomorrow, you can message me on Facebook. I get a lot of comments on Facebook the following day after the podcast telling me what they heard and they enjoyed it and this and that. And keep those coming. I love to hear them and I share them. But to me, and maybe it's a stretch, but I know a couple of listeners on here tonight will know where I'm going with this. When I see Drew, I think of one person, Napoleon Dynamite.
Oh, I can see that too.
Yeah, he's definitely John Heater.
Every time I see him, I think about the movie. I think about that movie. And Reggie and Melissa, if you don't know who that is, just Google Napoleon Dynamite and you'll see what I'm talking about. To me, that's Drew.
I can 100% see it.
I can as well.
Add a few more curls and a little goofier of a face, and yeah, that's definitely Napoleon Dynamite.
Yeah, that's him. The argument against Cochran, Tim, is I think Drew thinks he is very highly intelligent. I think he's got a very high opinion of himself, and Cochran wasn't like that. Cochran was more low-key and kind of really had low self-esteem and wasn't sure of himself. But very, very damn intelligent. Cochran was very intelligent. I don't think Drew's as smart as he thinks he is.
Yeah, I was more comparing their physical looks than any other attribute.
Yeah. But yeah, so I guess when he's going to get booted, we're going to put a big old picture of Napoleon Dynamite over in Premier.
You know what? That wouldn't be a bad idea.
Today in Premier when I posted about so-and-so, you're on the clock. I didn't use his nickname. I used his real name so people would at least have to go Google and say, who the fuck is that, Jim? Are you done lost your mind? I don't know nobody by that name. So I still do that little stuff every once in a while. Not as much as I used to, but every once in a while. So, but Melissa, who's going to win this damn thing? Who's going to win? Is it going to be Keturah? Is it going to be Reggie's Keturah? Is it going to be D? Going to be Jake? Going to be Austin? Going to be Julie? Who's going to win?
Well, I think it's going to be D, but I would not be mad if Keturah won.
I can agree with that. I like both of them.
Mm-hmm.
And Sophie,
yeah.
if you're listening, because I know you listen back sometime, and you don't ask me about your buddy D. For those that don't know, Sophie Bellardi, who is a longtime member in Whispers, very badass player in our Whispers games that I picked to go far, and she did pretty good, didn't she?
yeah. If Winnie is good, then yes, she did.
Yeah, she won. I picked her and Denise that season. They were both newbies, and they were there at the end. One from Harvard, one from Yale. But anyway, Sophie's friends with Dee, and she asked me, well, our mods know, early in the season, and Sophie hasn't done that in a couple of seasons. She said, I hadn't bothered you in a couple of seasons, but I'm friends. I know one of the cast members. I want to you tell me how Dee does? So Sophie knows how Dee does. But anyway, Melissa likes the chances of Keturah and Dee. Steve, what do you think? Let's get Reggie, because I know Reggie usually cuts out around now, so let's get Reggie
yep,
in before
I'm
she has to leave.
I'm just getting ready to do that. How did you know?
That's right. I pay attention.
Very good.
What
did you want to know?
Reggie, will you approve me a nickel an hour raise for the work I do?
Oh, I think that's asking a little too much, maybe 3 cents. We'll go in the middle.
You so damn mean.
I know.
Well, then.
Katie, can't even get a nickel an hour, Steve. Okay,
well,
Reggie.
To be fair, that nickel would probably go to a certain somebody, so.
Oh, yeah, we're not going to go there. We're not. But, okay, I deserve that, but we're not going to go there. Reggie.
Yes.
We know you want Keturah to win.
Yeah.
Could D beat her?
Boy, that's a tough one. Yeah, I think if D does jury management better than Keturah, but I'm not going to waver. I'm going to hold tight to Keturah.
Okay. All right. Melissa.
Okay, on that happy note, I'm out of here, y'all. Talk later. Bye.
Okay,
right,
good night, Reggie.
Thanks, Reggie. Good luck on football.
You're right, Reggie.
Melissa, you're going to stick with D, right?
Yep.
Tim, what do you think? Keturah or D?
I would take D.
Okay. Steve?
And it could be Keturah's feud with Bruce that keeps her from winning.
Ooh, good point. Very good point. And I think I brought that up earlier. I know I did, didn't I, Steve? When we're talking about D and Keturah, I said if it comes down between them, because we know Jake's the third place, ain't going to get no votes. If it comes down to Keturah and D, players may look at, wow, Keturah, you got really kind of personally involved with this crap with Bruce and all of this shit, and D just kept playing the game. So we're going to give D the votes. Do you think that's possible, Steve?
I think it is. I think, whatever extra happens between Keturah and Bruce has yet to come out. So,
go ahead.
I have a feeling there's more. There's more that's going to come out, I feel.
Yeah, you're right. Yeah, it's going to get dirtier.
Yeah. The other thing I'm going to suggest here is that if Drew is not the second boot after Sifu in the next episode, it'll probably be Kelly. And I'll explain why after we finish with the current topic.
So you think Kelly will outlast Kendra?
What's that?
No, you think Kendra will outlast Kelly?
Yes.
Okay.
Because Kelly has been pointed out as the biggest threat and savviest player on the Bello tribe already by Caleb.
Okay. But that's the old Bello tribe, right?
That was on the, that was out of the ones
Kelly,
that made it to Lulu.
Kelly was part of the new Lulu, right?
Yes.
Because the new Lulu, they're all still intact. Bruce, Kelly, Caleb, Jake, Keturah, they're all still there. And, Bello, the new Bello is Emily, Kendra, Drew, and Austin. And then you've got Sifu, Julie, and Dee, the only three left on Reba.
Yep.
So,
I do agree, by the way, when it comes to D.
Okay, go ahead.
I agree when it comes to D, I actually think that Keturah's whole one-sided beef, her whole beef with Bruce is essentially what could end up costing her. I find it funny to say this, but, don't be surprised if maybe perhaps, I don't know, maybe Bruce is potentially the deciding vote for a winner.
Or could it be possible, because we know once players leave and they're in the jury, they're still not out of the game. They're in there talking to each other. They're not in seclusion away from each other. They're still in there hanging out. They're talking. They go to tribal. They're talking about their games, what happened in their games. Is it possible Bruce taints the jury against Keturah? Like, man, this was my opportunity to come back, and all of a sudden she makes this so personal, and she does this and this and this and this. You think maybe Bruce can sway the jury away from her and over to D, kind of like Laura Moret did, where she cost Russell Hance the game when she was on the jury?
It's entirely possible. If you look at the If you look at the edits closely, Dee has gotten more strategic content than Keturah, and Keturah's, a lot of her edit has been reviewed with Bruce.
Right. I'm not going to say right now that Dee outplayed Keturah or Keturah outplayed Dee, but we all know from Survivor, and we know from playing Whispers games, what matters is getting jury votes and how you get them. Now, how you put them over there. And right now, with the difference in the personalities and how they're being edited, you kind of get the idea from Keturah, she don't mind putting your ass over on the jury. And you kind of get the idea with Dee where she's just kind of playing it smart. She don't want to hurt your feelings, but she's just playing the game.
Yep, pretty much.
So, I mean, we may see that come into play because we know Jake's going to be the dumbass looking in.
Yeah, you know, we've seen that too with the edit, what Tim brought up, the fact that Keturah's has been mainly about nothing but Bruce. And, you know, normally in a winner edit, you don't get that. You don't see them focused on one sole thing. Where Dee has the more well-rounded edit so far.
Steve, so far this season, the edits have not been tricky. They have not been misleading. They've been pretty much what we're seeing.
Right. Yeah, it's pretty much been a foregone conclusion for the most part in regards to what we're going to get, essentially, for each for each episode. So,
right.
I wouldn't be surprised at all if they are literally just telling us, you know, the whole, if they're not just telling us, you know, the whole, that this is Dee's story, basically.
Yeah. And thinking back to one of our best friends, Eddie, who's left us, and how he watched the editing and he watched the highlights and the lighting and how they did everything. And I've kind of tried to watch that a little bit this season, Eddie, in your memory. And I've kind of picked up a little bit on when Dee does confessionals or they're showing her doing stuff around camp or talking, she's really being highlighted in a very picturesque way, I think. Maybe it's just me, but I think she is really getting a very, very highlighted edit.
Oh, she must have been
I'll put it this way. If she wins this season, I wouldn't be shocked if they're not editing her as to being one of their best female winners ever.
Wow, that's a strong statement right there.
Yeah.
Well, she is getting a very favorable edit for a female winner. When you consider how they've edited
Think back to how they've edited other female winners. Other female winners,
right.
Winners, they're like, you never saw it coming. They didn't show this. And it's like, well, how the hell did they win? And it's almost like they wanted fans to not like that female won. You can't say that with Dee at this point. With the edit she's getting, if she were to be the overall winner, she's getting a good edit.
Yep.
By the way, since we are in the overtime hour, I did want to make an announcement for anybody who may listen to this and our Big Brother fans. We did discuss this past last week whether or not we would do a show this week because of the fact that literally nothing has gone on in the house. Rather than repeat ourselves, where literally, like, you could go back and listen to last week's podcast, and it would be basically the same shit that we would talk about tomorrow night. Melissa and I have instead decided that we are going to hold off the Big Brother talk until the finale podcast next week. So, because,
okay,
quite frankly, the same shit has happened.
All right, let me use my WWE phrase. Damn! Just when I was gonna call in.
Oh, come on, Jim. I had a conversation with you earlier today, and you said you had no idea who four of the remaining five were.
I will confirm that. I told Steve, he told me what was going on and told me who they was, and I said the only person I know is Sari. I don't even know who all those other people are. But I just had to do Ron Simmons. That's who it was, wasn't it? Ron Simmons.
Yeah, Ron Simmons. Yeah, with the damn catchphrase.
Yeah.
I need to add that I know I have not been doing the updates in the last couple of days, and that's only because, quite honestly, I can't bring myself to watch. I do not like Jag right now. I don't like Jag right now. I don't like Bowie right now. They are horrible. Horrible.
They're insufferable.
Well, the only thing I know is Steve told me that Sari was being accused of being a bully, but there's other players left that are being bigger bullies.
That's it.
Well,
that's
yeah.
Accurate.
Yes. Yes.
That's all.
Jag is taking that to a whole new level. He is giving them back three times what he got. Okay.
Wow.
And Jim, Matt is being
tonight
accused of doing the same thing, but I don't think Matt's doing it really. He's maybe agreeing with him or adding, yeah, or something like that, but I don't think that he's comfortable with the way that they're talking either, to be quite honest with you.
And Jim, you know how they built up Jam Jam last season to be the first ever Cuban winner of Survivor or Puerto Rican winner or whatever nationality he is?
Yeah.
They're basically doing this, the same thing with Jag, because he'll be the first ever Punjab to have played the game of Big Brother in the United States and to win the season. And production, for anybody who watched tonight's show, all the mean shit that they've been doing on the live feeds, production completely edited it out of tonight's show completely. So,
well,
they're protecting their press guy.
Yeah, see, I still post articles in Big Brother. Don't mean I read them. Don't mean I know what the hell is going on, because I know all of you guys know I have no idea. But I saw something from Julie about who she thought should win. Was it some guy named Jag?
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Okay. Do y'all agree with that?
No.
No, I think his jury management is a flaming pile of hot garbage.
So you think
maybe
you think he's
worst,
another Pope? You think he's another Pope Paul?
He might be worse than
worse.
Pope Paul.
Oh yeah, he's worse.
Wow. Woo.
The guy,
okay. If he's,
in the beginning,
Pope Paul, if he's worse Pope Paul, I'm glad I ain't seen him.
Okay, well, let me tell you that I had been defending the kid. I had been defending him, saying, because everybody was like, he's not even playing. He's just like sitting, you know, whatever. And I had been defending him. Well, he started to win. He started to win, and he let all that power go to his head. And he is just awful, awful. He's trying to make himself feel better. They're trying to make themselves feel better for doing what they're doing, saying that these women deserved it. And, oh, my God, now – but what gets me is them saying, we've got to pressure crack Felicia. We have to make her think that she's the one going home. We have to make her so exhausted before the HOH that she has absolutely zero chance of winning it, right?
Yeah.
She's 63
okay.
years old. Give me a break.
Okay, I've seen her picture. I know who you're talking about.
Can't defend the man anymore. I hope Matt wins.
But if Matt does not win,
I'm not okay with Jag winning.
That older lady still in there?
Yeah.
Even though I can't stand her.
They're actually talking about her like that?
I can't stand her either.
Look, I ain't seen none of this, but that just screams disrespect.
Yeah. I don't like her either. I really don't. I think she's a loudmouth.
If she's made it that far, she should have earned a little bit of respect.
Right.
At her age.
Right.
Because how many people her age make it that far in Big Brother?
Literally the only other one is like Jerry and Rennie.
Yeah, and Jerry fell his ass off in the pool. God bless you, Jerry. That's my favorite damn reality clip I've ever seen in my life.
That's so funny.
Well, Felicia fell in the hot tub.
Yeah, Felicia fell in the hot tub earlier in the season.
I mean, Tim, I think you and I watch that shit at least once a year.
Yeah,
oh my God.
That's about accurate.
Mm-hmm. But
Felicia fell in the hot tub.
Two weeks ago, I said if Matt can't win, I hope Jag wins. But now I have done a complete 180. I still hope Matt wins. And if he can't win, I hope Felicia wins.
Okay. The other funny clip for me, Jerry's number one, and I don't think it'll ever be top. There are two others. One was Rafe Judkins on Survivor when his ass got turned upside down on a challenge where his head was stuck down in the damn water. That's number two. Number three is on the Amazing Race, where a big ass ball come rolling down the hill and just busted somebody's ass. I don't know.
Are you talking about the watermelon clip?
Yes.
Oh my God.
That was hilarious. That was hilarious.
Watermelon right
that's
in the
my
face.
Top three. That's my top three, Tim.
Yeah. For me, I would also have to throw in from The Amazing Race, the one dude, Colin, yelling, my ox is broken. That was such a meltdown. Such an epic meltdown.
Yeah, that was good, too.
Meltdown.
Yeah, that was good, too. But that watermelon, that shit was, that was brutal.
Oh, my God, yes.
This guy is literally so pathetic. Like when we talk about Jerry management,
and how he may be worse than Pope Paul. The reason being is because he believes that he doesn't need the jury, and he's flat out said this, that he believes he doesn't need the jury management because he's won all the competitions. So he,
well,
therefore,
that, that
he should automatically win.
Yeah, yeah, okay, yeah. That's like Russell Hant's strategy. I put your ass over so I should win. I'm like Mike Tyson. I knock your ass out, I should win. That was Russell's strategy.
By,
and that,
yeah,
that's,
by the way,
that's a direct quote from him. I feel like I'm Mike Tyson. If I knock your ass out, I should win. That was his strategy. And after he didn't win the first time, I said, Russell, hopefully you changed that strategy. No, I think if I knock your ass out, you should win. I said, okay, you 0 for 2.
By the way, Jim, I don't know if you know this at all, but Jerry's on Instagram, actually.
Oh, my God. I love Jerry. And
I thought he died.
No,
didn't
he's still,
he die?
He's very
no,
much still,
no.
He's very much still alive. He looks like he's in pretty good shape for someone who's 90.
Yeah, but he does look 90, but he does look in good shape.
Yeah, Jim, I'll give you his Instagram handle after the show.
All right, so send it to me so I can follow him.
Yeah, absolutely.
I ought to get him on this damn show. I ought to get him on here.
Oh my God!
You know what I should do?
Hey,
here's what I should do.
Hey,
I should get him and Rennie on the same night.
Oh my God! Do you know that? Oh, that just wouldn't go well at all. Rennie still doesn't like him.
Steve, what would you think about that? Me getting Jerry and Rennie on the same night.
Well, let's put it this way. That definitely would be not safe for work. For, you know, we're going to have to add a couple of disclaimers that night.
That would be a NSFW, huh?
Possibly.
I sent it to you, Jim.
Yeah, I got it. I'm looking at it right now. Yeah, I'm gonna click and go to it. I love Jerry.
I know that one too because Dan tweeted out his handle a couple of months ago.
I do. I loved it. I loved characters like him. I love characters like Rennie. I like players like that.
Oh my God!
That's when Big Brother. That's when, to me, Big Brother was interesting when it was like that. I mean, a lot of people don't like Willie Hans, but he was interesting. And Frank, you know, I mean, I liked that stuff. And Ian was kind of boring, but he was smart. Dr. Will's the best ever. I will never change my mind. There ain't gonna never be nobody come around Big Brother as good as Dr. Will to me.
No.
Does anybody have any spoilers for the second season of Traitors?
Second season, I haven't tried.
I've read somewhere that apparently Kate from season one comes back in the middle of the season.
Second season of what?
The Traitors.
I can probably get that information. I haven't tried. I can probably get it. Is that the season with Rob and Parvati?
Rob's not on.
Yeah. Rob, what? Dropped
Jim,
him.
Jim, I'll read your cast. Pull it up here.
All right. Because I need to know who I might can contact.
All right, so here is their cast. John Bercow, who is a former Speaker of the House of Commons in England.
All right.
Karsten Berge Bergerson from Love Island, US 5.
Okay.
Trishelle Canatella from the Real World / Punch.
I know her, but I don't think she'd talk.
Maxime Smirkovsky from Dancing with the Stars.
Yeah, Max ain't gonna say nothing.
Ekinsu, I'm not even gonna bother attempting to pronounce this last name. Love Island, UK.
Right.
Johnny Bananas. Johnny Bananas from Challenge.
Yeah, Johnny ain't gonna say nothing.
Sandra
will bark, and bark.
Yep.
Always
we also have Marcus
has.
Jordan, son of Michael.
Okay.
Dan Giesling.
Dan won't talk.
Mercedes MJ Javid from Shaws of Sunset.
Okay, don't know her.
Tamara Judge from Real Housewives.
No.
What's
the girl from Canada that won Survivor? Isn't she on this?
Erica Castaneda.
No,
she's on the Canadian version. She is horrible at it.
Oh, okay. All right. Because I was going to say I could talk to her. All right, keep going, Tim.
Let's see. Tamara Judge from Real Housewives. Kevin Kreider from this show called Bling Empire. Phaedra Parks from The Real Housewives.
Don't know her.
Peppermint from RuPaul's Drag Race 9.
Definitely don't know.
Janelle's on it.
Janie. I know Janie.
Right. Larsa Pippen is on it.
Who? Laura who?
Larsa Pippen, Scotty's ex-wife, Marcus's current girlfriend. Marcus Jordan's
okay, yeah,
girlfriend.
All right, I don't know her.
Parvati, Parvati's on it.
Definitely know her.
CT from The Challenge is on it.
I know him, but he don't talk.
Yeah. Peter Weber from The Bachelorette is on it.
I know him, but I haven't really ever tried to talk to him.
Dree Whitfield from The Real Housewives is on it. And last but not least, professional boxer Deontay Wilder.
Don't know him. I see three possibilities and two huge ones that I could hear from. Two of the three are real good chances.
Okay.
Which, if you know me, you know those are probably survivors.
you guys think that show's catching on, isn't it? It's getting pretty popular.
Yeah, it's a really good show. Honestly, I highly recommend it.
I watched the Australian version, and that was really good.
Oh, like, the ending to the second Australian version is wild. Absolutely wild.
I think I only saw one version, though. I only saw one season.
Yeah, there's two seasons of it, and I think it got canceled after the second season, which is a shame, because, like I said, second season... absolutely wild ending.
Tim, I will tell you this. I'll tell you this, and it's just a personal opinion, the way they're casting it, I wouldn't be shocked at all if you don't see Russell on a future season.
Oh, God, no.
Christ.
It would not surprise me. The way they're going about casting, it wouldn't surprise me.
Yeah. Yeah. Unfortunately. And you know Russell's probably begging to be on that show, too.
Oh, yeah, Russell.
Well,
Russell don't,
you know, it's
Russell
a CBS show. It's a CBS show. No, it isn't.
No, it's not
it's
CBS.
On
well,
Peacock.
If it's CBS, he won't be on it.
It's not
yeah,
CBS.
No,
it's Peacock.
Okay, if it's not CBS, he could be on it. But if it's CBS, he's banned. His whole family's banned from CBS.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know. Steve, have you watched this show?
I have not, actually. I haven't really watched anything, quite frankly, other than Survivor, Amazing Race, or Big Brother, or even the, you know, I've also watched The Challenge, but Traitors, I haven't really watched.
Let me ask you something, Tim. Is this the show that Steph and Ceri were on?
Yes. Ceri won it.
Okay, I watched that season, and I liked it. I liked it.
It's a really good show. The only real problem with it, well, there's two really kind of main problems with it. If you're faithful, you can't really do a whole lot, because if you say too much, you're going to fall off. And the challenges are absolutely useless.
Yeah.
Outside of that, it's a great
you know,
show.
I saw
one challenge where they were up on a damn big-ass giant rock mountain climbing, walking over, and you're thinking, wow, this is really something. And then at the end of the show, it didn't amount to nothing.
Yep.
On the one version or the one season I saw of the Australian Traitors.
Yeah.
There was a gal on there that looked almost exactly like Parvati, and she kind of plays like her too.
I think I know who you're talking about.
Marielle.
Well, I can tell you this. I can tell you what JJ would say about somebody looking like Parvati. She would use the old Ric Flair line. No, not Ric Flair. It goes back further. If they're like Parvati, often imitated, never duplicated.
But yeah,
I don't think she was trying to be Parvati. She just acted like her and looked just like her.
Okay. All right. Okay.
I don't think she tried. I think she just was.
Yeah.
When somebody's email address is Parbs1Fan, like my wife is, they kind of like that player.
Yeah, I would say so.
No.
Yeah.
Really?
Yes, if you've never known that, that's JJ's email is Parvs1Fan. I'm not going to tell you at what domain, but it's Parvs1Fan. That's JJ's email.
I probably wouldn't have even gone that far. She's going to start getting shit in her mail.
Yeah,
people are going to be sending shit to every domain.
Yeah, she probably will. She's going to be like, Jim, what the hell did you do? I'm going to say, I didn't give a domain. She's going to say, how many are there? It's either Gmail or Yahoo.
And I don't think no one uses Yahoo anymore.
Oh, no, there's
what else?
Also.
Yeah, that shit was long gone. And don't even bring up AOL. You've got mail. I had that at one time. I had AOL
I had
at one
AOL.
Time. Every
AOL
time you get an email,
email,
it'd be, you've got mail.
AOL was no email.
Do they even have AOL, Steve? I mean, Tim, is it still around?
Yep.
No,
yes,
I mean, AIM email addresses are still around, but AIM itself is no longer.
The only ones I knew were way back to Web TV, where me and JB went back as email. I had Web TV, and then there was AOL, and then there was Yahoo, and thank goodness to Brenda Lowe. For all of you that send me emails, she introduced me to Gmail. She said, Jim, you need to get a Gmail account so we can chat over there. And I'm like, what is that? And she was telling me all about it. She said, it's real cool because you get email there, plus you can chat. You can talk to each other over there. I'm like, okay, so how do I do that? Because I didn't know what the hell to do. And she said, I'll set it up for you. I'll set your account up for you, and I'll send you the link, and you can check in, and I'll show you how to do it. Brenda Lowe from Survivor set me up on Gmail and taught me how to use Gmail. So there's another little tidbit for all you people listening in.
I have an AOL account only because, well, I had one, but I kept it because I have a friend who that's all she uses. And she refuses. I keep giving her my Gmail account, and she just will not, she will not use it. So I always have to go over to AOL, see if she sent me anything. Yeah.
Well, see, Melissa, that's how I was about Gmail when Brenda started talking about it. I didn't want no part of it.
Mm-hmm.
I was happy.
Mm-hmm.
I knew how to do Yahoo. I was fine with it. I didn't need nothing new. Didn't want to do it. I don't want to deal with it because I don't know how to do it. But when you got somebody influential in your life, you a lot of times end up saying, okay, and you do it. And it turns out to be good because I don't really ever hardly use Yahoo anymore.
Mm-hmm.
So, and the thing that's been consistent about me over the years is my email addresses, way back to Web TV, Yahoo, Gmail, everything, it's always the same. And if you want to find me, it's not hard to find me. The Game Survivor at whatever domain it is, it's always the same. And a lot of times when I've had to do stuff over the phone about disputes and stuff about cable or bills or whatever, and they ask, what is your email? And I tell them, they're like, the Game Survivor? And I'm like, yeah. Okay. And I'm like, okay, you don't watch CBS. And a lot of times over the years, I've said that, and they're like, oh, my God, no, that's my favorite show. Do you watch that? And I'm like, yeah, a little bit. So,
does the bear shit in the woods?
Yeah, just a little bit. Is the Pope Catholic? But I thank you, Brenda, because I do like Gmail now. So you did good doing that for me, Brenda. I did trust her. She's a real smart cookie. That girl was smart. Brenda is smart. And the good thing about her and me is we both listened to each other back then. She got a lot of bad advice about what to do after being on the show, and I talked her off to doing it, and she trusted me and listened to me, and there were a lot of stuff went on with me back then, the lawsuits and stuff, how I was getting sued from Mark Burnett, and I listened to her and trusted her, and I'll never have a bad word to say about her. She was fantastic. She told me she'd go to court. She said, I'll go in there tomorrow, Jim, and tell them what I did, what I told you. I said, nope, can't do that because they're going to cast you again. You're going back. You can't do that. They cast her back. She played again. So anybody that listened to the overtime and didn't know that Survivor kid bit, you just got a little bit of news.
Mm-hmm.
Jim, would she go back and do it again if she was asked?
No. No, not at this point. She wouldn't. And we still do talk. If anybody wants to know that, we still do talk. The ones I've always been closest with that formed something way past Survivor, you know, deep friendships like with her and Angie, people like that. I mean, you don't hear from them. They don't do nothing. And a lot of it is personal choice. And I would hope I had a little bit of input in that, because any people that I've gotten close to, I've always recommended, let it go, get on with your life, let it go. If they want you back, they'll bring you back. If they don't, they don't. Just don't sit there waiting by the telephone. Get on with your life. And from everything I've seen in the past, that's been pretty good advice. And I still talk to her, still good friends, still stay in touch. I don't even know if she even does social media anymore. And Angie hardly ever does social media, but I can send her a text and I'll get a reply in 30 seconds. So, I mean, there's bonds like that. And you know, and there's other people, that, you know, like Coach Wade, you know, it holds true with him, and Penner. And, I mean, there's a lot of them. Eliza, I mean, Tyrone, you know, TD, my old boy, TD. I mean, don't start me naming. There's a lot of them. I mean, they've been really good. Andrea, oh God, Andrea, like my little sister. But Brenda and Angie, and I have to put Andrea in that class. Michelle. Who's still very, very active with the challenge, still has seemingly made that a career now as to what she's going to do, you know.
Yeah, well, I did not like her in this last challenge.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, she's on yet another challenge that just started.
Yeah, and that's the route she's chosen. It wasn't what I suggested. I told you what I tell everybody, all my friends, and I told her the same thing. But she chose the other route. And we both have a common friend who is not involved in TV or nothing. She's just a good friend that we both happen to know. She lives in Chicago. And she told her the same thing. She agreed with me. And she kind of disappointed in the route she took, but I don't criticize her. I don't say anything to her negative about it. You know, that's the route she chose. That's what she chose. But I respect what Brenda did. I respect what Angie did. I respect what Coach did. I respect what Penner did. I respect what Tyrone did. I respect what Andrea did. And I'll leave it at that. I mean, that's, you know, I talked earlier in the night about spoiling, how I loved the old school spoiling. How you dug around for clues and looked at pictures and watch social media and when they posted and what they posted, who they're friends with. Are they friends with somebody else's family member maybe? And you try to piece it all together. All of that was so much fun. And then it got to where it was like the phone rings and you pick it up and they're like, Jim, here, I want to tell you all this. And it's like, okay, you're not going to turn it down. You're going to write it down. But it just wasn't as fun, you know. It wasn't as fun. And that's the way it is with players with me that I'm friends with. You know, you watch what they do and how they carry on, and you either respect it or you don't. And that's just a personal opinion of mine. It don't mean crap to nobody else. Everybody else in the world's got their own opinion of them. It's just a personal opinion. You know, I respect the ones that move on. Katie Hansen is another great example. She was on Survivor. A lot of you may not remember. And Jedra, last name, Bland, another one from Kentucky. Great friend. I spoiled her being on there because I knew her beforehand. And, I mean, they move on, and they've got fantastic lives, great families. Even Naonka, you know, even Nene, I mean, right now, she's got a great life going on. And I just respect that they don't give a crap no more. They don't want the limelight. They've got a great life going on. I respect, I love to see that. And then, I hate to name names, but players like Abby that just can't let it go. It's like they're out there constantly tweeting, posting, wanting attention, wanting back on the show, wanting to be cast on something. I don't know. I mean, I guess you do what you got to do, but I don't have respect for that. I just don't have respect for that. If you wasn't good enough that people ain't calling you to be on, stop begging. Stop begging. What do you think, Steve? Am I far off?
No, I mean, you know, if I was in their shoes, you know, I wasn't getting a call back, I wouldn't be literally out there begging and pleading to be cast again. I mean, it would be like, okay, if I went on Survivor and say I was a jury member, it's like, okay, you know, if you guys want to give me a call and see if I'm interested in either doing another show or doing another season, then fine, I'll take the call. But, you know, I'm not going to be all bent out of shape about it if I never get that call again to, you know, to jump out there.
You know, and I respect people like Hayden Moss. I mean, he's been asked back twice and turned them down both times because he had other stuff going on in his life that was more important at that time. He said it's not a knock against the show because I love the shows, but at my point in time in my life, I couldn't do it. He said, I ain't ever saying never, but I don't see it. And when I was contacted, I had too much going on in my life to do it. I don't know how you can't respect that.
Yep.
So.
I mean, you can't just flat out.
I thought, Steve, I thought it was very cool I thought it was very cool, the interview that Hayden did with Sharon Tharpe, how he basically laid out everything I spoiled, everything I told everybody for years about how he was actually cast for Survivor and got bumped and ended up on Big Brother and wins, and then they put him back on Survivor. I spoiled that shit as it was happening. And now, this year, Hayden does an interview with Sharon and confirms every damn bit of everything I told people.
And, hey, it's a vindication.
Yeah, it is. Sharon's been really good with those interviews.
Sharon is fantastic. Sharon is fantastic.
I couldn't believe how much of the Big Brother 6 cast she got back together for this one little mini reunion she did on the pressure cooker competition.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, Sharon is great. I fully support Sharon. I fully support Gordon Holmes. I fully support Dalton Ross. I fully support, what's his name, Mike Bloom?
Yep, that's it.
That's the four I fully support. Rob C's okay, but he kind of gets off on a tangent where it's all about his sight and shit. So I go, I like Sharon, I like Gordon, I like Dalton, and I like Mike. That's the four I would highly recommend. That's the four that I always post.
Another good one is Shannon Gus.
Who?
Shannon Gus is her name.
I think she's the one affiliated with Martin Holmes.
No, she's affiliated with Mike Bloom.
Oh, okay. Well, she's cool then. She's cool.
Yeah.
She's cool.
She does a lot of stuff on... Yeah, she does a lot with the international versions of Survivor and also the U.S. too.
Okay, well, I'm not into that as much. So that's probably my bad. But I've only got so many hours now, Tim.
Yeah.
Very understandable. And Steve fully is aware of that.
Yeah.
I think we all are at this point. Oh, that sounds scary. That sounds scary, Steve.
Yeah. And by the way, Jim, that thing we talked about earlier. Didn't happen.
Go home.
I was keeping an eye out. So.
Okay. Well, that's a good thing, though, right?
Yeah.
Okay. And at this hour of the night, it's a really good thing, because that means bedtime.
Which means I'm going to wake up tomorrow morning to 500 messages from you about something having happened.
No, I don't think so. I think it's bedtime because there was a couple of text messages exchanged before airtime, and it made me kind of back off as to being worried about tonight. So I think that problem's okay for tonight. And after we log off, I may play some Sony. And Tim, you're not gonna believe this, but what's my record now? Right now, Steve, was it like 45-2?
Something like that.
Yeah,
that feels like about the other records I've heard of yours in the past.
I mean, I've got like a record of 45-2, and Christopher said, "Dad, you just need to stop playing because it can't even be fun anymore. And that's what Steve told me that one time. He said something to me like that. He's like, I mean, this is like too predictable. But I mean, I can hit any kind of pitching on there, Tim. I don't care. I can hit any kind of pitching.
I can hit a decent amount of pitching myself, although sometimes I get sick with chasing pitches out of the zone.
I used to do that, Tim. I used to be bad about that. But after, you know, you play season after season, you get a little better at it. I don't chase no more. And Steve can tell you, I take a lot of walks. I get a lot of walks now. But I hit so many damn home runs.
And a lot of people throwing out at home.
Tim, I get a lot of people that are so fucking stupid. They get a triple and they stand up and they're like, "No, I'm going for the inside the park home run." They get thrown out by like 40 feet.
That's funny. When I'm chasing pitches, it's really only because of just not paying attention like I should to the game.
But I mean, it is weird. And Steve can tell you, after I won last season and I moved into this season, I traded off like four or five of my superstars and just brought in.
Oh, it was more.
I brought in other players. It was like, okay, well, they may be okay or whatever. And I'm better this year than I was last year.
Crazy.
It is. It's weird. I'll tell you this. If we could go by my Sony, I would love to have that outfielder from Baltimore named Santander. I'd love to have him.
Oh, Anthony Santander? He's a decent player.
Oh, my God. He's killing it. But I let Mookie Betts go, and I've got him instead of Mookie, and I'm doing better.
I'm already looking forward to the start of baseball season.
Yeah, but your team don't even know where they want Harper to play. Is he an outfielder or a first baseman?
I would honestly keep him in first base. Our right fielder, Castellanos, literally made zero errors last year.
Yeah, but so what do the Phillies do now? You had the best team. You had the best team.
Yeah,
who are you going to try to add? What are you going to do? Or are you going to be smart and just say, let's bring everybody back because we fucked it up and we'll do it better now?
My guess is they are going to sign a closer and see it possibly a starting pitcher or two.
Are they going to lose Nola?
I think so because he wants too much. He was looking
for
like
an
8-year two. Yeah, Nola was looking for like an 8-year, $200 million contract or something like that. And for someone who's 30, I would not go 8 years at all.
I agree with that. I've always thought Zach Wheeler was better than him anyway.
Oh my God, Wheeler is insane.
Yeah, he's like your version of Nate Eovaldi, except Nate Eovaldi will go out and pitch you 6 or 7 innings, and then the next day, if it matters, he'll come out of the bullpen and give you another 2 or 3 innings.
And here's the thing. Wheeler has a lower WHIP in the playoffs than Mariano Rivera.
Oh, but Tim, though, yesterday you said it was impossible for Eovaldi to do that.
Shit. Nate Eovaldi in the playoffs? They ain't no better. They ain't no better.
I think Wheeler is actually better than Eovaldi in the playoffs.
I saw Nate with Boston start a game with 7 innings, win the game, and the next game, the next day, not even a day off, the next day, come in relief and throw 3 innings.
If anyone's better than Eovaldi, it would be Zach Wheeler.
Shit, Zach Wheeler ain't going to come in relief like Nate did. I'm just telling you, Nate's a damn bulldog. He don't understand this shit about total pitches or days off. Nate will pitch for you every damn day of the week.
Yeah. Wheeler actually came out in relief in game 7. Pitched something like 2 2-1/3 innings in relief. All scoreless.
I'm telling you, if I was the owner of a team or I was starting a team, I'm getting Nate Eovaldi. That guy's a winner.
You look at the
championship game they won. He struggled the whole damn game. He pitched 6 innings, struggled the whole damn game. Couldn't find his control. He only gave up 4 hits, but he walked 5 guys in 6 innings, so he was always in trouble. Didn't give up nothing.
Yep.
His best inning was his last inning, the 6th inning, 3 up, 3 down. That's Nate Eovaldi.
Yeah.
Jim, he's a winner? He's a winner? Yep. Not according to John Henry.
I still laugh at the fact that 5 years ago the Phillies tried to sign him as a closer instead of a starter.
I'm telling you.
That is how dumb our previous GM was.
I'm telling you, and next year he'll have another good year. The whole problem that happened with Nate was he had to have arm surgery. And everybody got scared away. Boston signed him. They took a chance, and he gave Boston what they needed. He gave them a damn World Series. He threw his arm out there every damn day in the playoffs or World Series.
Yeah. Yeah, next year
and
I know.
They rewarded him. They rewarded him by telling him bye.
They traded away a Razorback for him.
Yeah.
I know next year we're going on at least one Phillies road trip next year, possibly two.
Yeah.
So that'll be fun.
I mean, man, I will forever be a Nate Eovaldi fan for what he did for Boston and what he's still doing. He's still doing it.
Yeah. Crazy, really.
He's a stud. It's like you heard all the interviews. You heard Bruce Bochy. You heard the pitching coach, Mike Maddox. They were asking about Nate, and they were just like, oh, we know Nate. We knew what he's going to do. We wasn't worried about it. We knew what he's going to do.
Yeah. Me and my friend started a thing where we go on a Phillies road trip a year at least last year, so we're doing that again this upcoming season. That'll be fun.
If y'all guys keep doing that, you may see some different ballparks.
Oh, yeah. Our goal is to see all 30 stadiums.
Whew.
Yeah. So our first one was Cleveland last year. The clubhouse this year is
I remember that. I watched you.
Oh, yeah.
I watched you say that.
Yeah, that was a better trip than I was anticipating. It was a better trip than I anticipated. But I didn't think there was going to be all that much to do.
All right, I'm going to ask you something. I know the answer is going to be no because I know you. When you were in Cleveland, did y'all visit the flats?
No.
I didn't think so because the flats is where it's if you think about New Orleans and Mardi Gras or you think about Bourbon Street or Memphis and Beale Street, the flats in Cleveland is a party, party, party street.
Yeah, party ain't my style.
Yeah, I've been there. That's why I know what the flats are.
But, yeah, our leader in the clubhouse for the trip this
Actually, our warehouse from my business, our warehouse where we manufacture hams and turkeys and all that stuff, it's located in Cleveland. So there's a little bit of trivia that some of you probably don't know. That's why I was in Cleveland and ended up visiting the flats because I was visiting a meat plant there and trying to cut a deal with them to do our meats and be able to ship to our different stores and handle what we needed done. And we got it all worked out. So that's where our stuff comes from with our meats and all the stores is from Cleveland, Ohio.
Oh, wow.
Kudos to you, Jerry the King Lawler, his favorite city.
Nice. Yeah, our leaders in the clubhouse for the trip this year are Los Angeles for the Dodgers and Boston.
You know, I don't know what Boston's gonna do. They're gonna go one way or the other. They're gonna stay on the same pathway that Henry's always wanted. He just wants a GM. They ain't going to spend no money because the fans going to come in anyway. He ain't worried about it. And that's going to be his puppet now is Breslow. And he'll fire him in three years like he did Chaim Bloom, which I told Steve when Chaim got fired, when he got hired. I told Steve 3 years he's going to be gone. He's going to be the scapegoat. And it happened. Now, are they going to do Breslow like that, or is Breslow going to take the approach Dom took and said, fuck y'all, I'm going to sign players?
He'll probably take the Dom approach, more than likely.